Answer my question! The question, jerk!
Hey, listen, nerds. You're listening to the Two-Headed Nerd Answer of the Week podcast with Joe and Matt.
Welcome back to the most important podcast on the internet, the THN Answer of the Week. It works just like this. My good friend Joe Patrick posts the question of the week on the Two-Headed Nerd forums. This happens on Sunday. You have until the following Thursday at midnight to answer it. This week, what did we ask the listeners? Joe Patrick.
This week's question, courtesy once again of Wooly Toots.
The hardest working man in the history of the question of the week.
That's right. What is your favorite comic book artifact, weapon, or item of power?
I love this.
I don't have an answer yet.
This is going to be fun. I have like seven, and I'm trying to narrow it down.
I know. That's my problem,
too. I was like, oh, it's got to be Flip-a-Dippa's snorkel, man. God, I love that thing. Let's get right to it. We got a ton of calls. Hopefully, you guys kept it short, because everybody called this week. Let's get started.
Hey, Joe. Hey, Matt. This is Zach Hollow calling in with the question of the week. Favorite weapon, item, whatever, that anyone's used in comics. You know, at first I wanted to go with something big and powerful, but I decided to go actually the exact opposite. I know I've mentioned before, it's one of my favorite characters, the great undead Frank Einstein, better known as Madman. You know, he doesn't have a lot of tools at his disposal, but his favorite weapon, and my favorite weapon that I'm giving, is he has a yo-yo. And that yo-yo, to make it a little more deadly, he's hollowed out the middle of it and filled it with lead so that it's a little more weighty.
Yep.
I like the fact that, you know, Frank's a nice guy. I mean, he's not opposed to kicking someone in the head or whacking him in the face. But, you know, he generally doesn't want to hurt people too bad. So, you know, that's his weapon of choice. And I like that through a lot of the panels, if the action's somewhere else, if you look in the background, you can kind of notice him every once in a while playing with his yo-yo or doing, you know, little cat's cradle kind of things with the strings. And, I don't know. I just think that's adorable. So that's my answer, kids. Have a good show. Talk to you later. Bye.
Good answer. Madman's yo-yo. I like that a lot.
Yeah, I like that we're off to something kind of weird right off
my
the bat.
My phone won't hang up. My phone won't hang up.
Hold on, a little troll getting off the phone, it sounds like. Good answer. Thank you, Zach. Whoa.
Yowzas.
Randy Andrews bringing the heat at some point.
Greetings, Joe and Matt.
There he is.
This is Randy Andrews calling in for the question of the week. This week, you asked, what is your favorite artifact, weapon, or item of power from the world of comic books? Well, guys, considering different items of artifacts, I have to go with the Infinity Gauntlet. Yeah, I'm old school. No other item can wield such enormous power in a glove form. I mean, Thanos eliminated half the Marvel Universe in a blink of an eye.
What about the Nintendo Power Glove, buddy? Huh?
So short and sweet, the gauntlet is definitely something to be contended with. I have a few others, but I'm going to save it for the forums. That's all for me this week, guys. Hope you like it. Check out my soundtrack blog at soundtrackalley.blogspot.com and see you later. Bye for now.
Is that the Avengers theme playing in the background? Is that what I'm hearing? I think that's
Avengers. I think it is the Avengers theme, yeah.
Randy Andrews, the man is crazy about soundtracks. And that's cool. I dig it. He went with a Nintendo Power Glove. What do you think?
Well, if anyone has seen the movie The Wizard starring Fred Savage and Jenny Lewis,
you do just about anything with that thing.
You are unstoppable with the Power Glove.
The Infinity Gauntlet, fantastic answer. And it is cool as hell. The glove with all the jewels on it that Thanos wears.
I have a feeling we'll be hearing about it again.
Yeah, chances are it's going to show up. Good answer, Randy. Thank you.
Hey, Joe and Matt. It's Tony Doug Wright, a.k.a. the TD Dubs. And I'm calling in for the answer of the week. And Wooly Toots had a great question, which was, name your favorite artifact, weapon, or item of power from the world of comics. And yes, this will follow the three-minute rule. And yes, it will be only one answer. So my favorite comics of all time are G.I. Joe, Batman, and The Flash. So I had to pick something from one of the three. Just one. Be careful. It's okay. So I had a long day of thinking, and I narrowed it down to Captain Cold's freeze gun. I'm showing some love for the villains here, but I'm a huge fan of the Flash, and I think that the rogues gallery that fight the Flash are some of the most underappreciated, underrated villains in the DC universe, actually the whole comics universe. I really love the rogues gallery. I think they're great, and Geoff Johns' run back in the day was really, really cool. But with the Captain Cold gun, I really just like the idea of this guy being not just a crazy psychopath as far as a villain, but just a bad guy who lives by a code. He knows he's a villain. He knows he's on the other side of the law. He has a code for the rogues gallery. He doesn't tolerate drugs, abuse against women and children. He really...
Except for when they're doing drugs and abusing women and children.
As far as the rogues. So that's why I chose Captain Cold and his freeze gun. Take care, guys.
Didn't Mirror Master, didn't he like beat up his sister and stuff?
Yeah, and,
like,
yeah, and Captain Cold wasn't having any of it.
Oh, yeah, I guess he kicked him out,
his point,
didn't he?
Yeah. Yeah. He was hooked on cocaine and, wait, what's the one you snort? Cocaine, right?
Are you serious? God, you're like a walking after school special.
Yeah. Listen, Tony, great answer. I love that answer so much. I love the idea. Captain, there's a great line in, I think it's Geoff Johns' very first issue. Or maybe the second issue of The Flash when he takes over for Mark Waid, where somebody makes a Mr. Freeze comment to him. He's like, Mr. Freeze, all that guy has is like an ice ray. This is a cold gun. And like the idea is that Mr. Freeze's gun, yeah, it's scary, sure, but it shoots ice and snow. Captain Cold's cold gun negates molecular motion.
I mean, I guess I was laughing because it's just like, cold ray, this is a cold gun. You know, right. Like, oh, pardon me, Mr. Freeze.
I love that answer. That's a good great answer.
That's a good answer.
Hey, guys, Jason Sachs here, at Jason Sachs on the Twitter. So I got to go with the scratch here. You got your Thor's hammer, you got your Daredevil Billy Club, Punisher guns, Wonder Woman lasso, Batman's batarangs even. But the best choice here has to be Captain America's shield. It's been around forever. It's offensive and defensive as a weapon. It's a symbol of him. It's a symbol of America. What more do you need? God bless America. God bless Captain America. Bye.
The man is a patriot. Jason Sexier loves him some Cap.
I'm saluting now.
That's a great answer. I mean, Captain
America's shield, it's a classic.
Give me a break. I remember when Mark Waid took Cap's shield away. It like fell to the bottom of the ocean.
Yeah,
he couldn't find it. Oh, I was like, you can't do that.
Yeah, he did it. Yeah. And that lasted for a long time.
It did. And then he had like that stupid force field shield for a while.
Oh, no. I loved every minute of it. That was the whole idea that Captain America kind of like, it was like losing an arm.
Yeah.
And he
yeah.
had to retrain himself. What a great answer.
Solid answer, Sexier.
Hello, Shadow Fellows. It is your sometimes damage dealing, sometimes tanking, sometimes getting pulled into evil alternate realities, mostly drunk Minotaur, with an answer to your question of the week. I posted this on the forums, but Joel told me to call it in, or else he'd stop giving me high fives, which he knows is my lifeblood. But in protest, I'm going to put the least effort possible into it and just read what I wrote verbatim. Take that, Joel Patrick!
What a twist.
This is the easiest question you've ever posed. Hands down, the Infinity Gauntlet. Not only does it grant godhood, but the gauntlet itself has a story as deep as any character. It isn't just a single artifact, but with six separate aspects, not only can the gems be combined, but used independently with great power, giving us great stories like the Infinity Watch, which itself led to one of the longest kept secrets in all of comics, the mysterious sixth member that held the most powerful gem of all, reality. Spoiler alert, it was Thanos. Boom! Going all the way back to Thanos' quest, an excellent read in its own right, it can be seen that this one thing has a limitless amount of story potential. Yes, the ultimate nullifier is scary, but whenever I see the gauntlet or its gems show up in a book, that's when I feel the real, oh, it's about to get real moment. So that's it for my answer. Joe, the high fives will continue.
The man forgot to introduce himself. Ladies and gentlemen, Patrick Kavanaugh.
That's right. A.K.A. Chester McRaw.
He introduced himself as the Minotaur that we play D&D
from the Shadowfellas. Welcome aboard, Patrick. Yeah. He's never answered before,
Nicely done, Patrick. Again, another vote for the Infinity Gauntlet.
Yeah, he told me he wrote in and I was like, call it in, dude. Come on.
And if you didn't pick up on it, Patrick, kind of a Thanos fan.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, not heavy, but kind of a Thanos fan.
Yeah, just a little bit.
You kidding me? Anyone,
casual Thanos fan.
Anyone that calls the Infinity Crusade a great read.
No, the Infinity Watch.
Pardon me, the Infinity Watch.
Warlock and the Infinity Watch.
Anybody who calls it a great read.
He just won a full run of it on eBay.
Hey, good for you.
Yeah, it's exciting.
Yeah. So $3 you'll never get back. But, I mean, hey, you know.
You shut up.
Oh, the first of the MP3 crew, Mr. Aaron Myers himself.
Making his long-awaited return.
Yeah, no kidding. Jeez. I wonder where he's going with this one.
Hey guys, Aaron Myers here, THN Love Slave, and one half of the Comics Therapy Podcast, calling in with my answer for this week. Thought about it a lot, and I hope it's not cheating, but I'm going to say my answer is Iron Man's armor, because that is makes up his super abilities, sort of, but it's really an artifact, or it's a weapon, you know. Machinery, whatever you call it. Iron Man without his armor is just a really smart guy in a bag of flesh. So, as a big Iron Man fan, that would be my answer. I'd say my favorite of the Iron Man armor would be like the early Bob Layton stuff, the easy answer, of course, since he kind of is the definitive Iron Man artist. But I am nothing if not predictable. So that's my answer this week, and I hope you accept it, and if you don't, go suck a lemon. All right, talk to you later. Bye.
Strong language, Myers. Jeez.
Yeah, this is the guy that we post on our website on Thursdays.
This is a clean show, sir, all right?
This is who we're subjecting our listeners to.
Iron Man totally counts. Iron Man's armor?
Of course
yes,
it counts.
Big time. My favorite Iron Man armor, when he had the big stupid, like, chainsaw shoulder thing.
That's Iron Man 2020. Yeah, so that's Iron Man of the future.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Dumb.
Now, of course, my favorite is the classic late 60s all through the 70s and mid 80s armor.
Oh, yeah.
The Bob Layton armor, yeah. But my really second favorite is the armor that Sean Chen designed when they came back from Heroes Reborn.
That was really good.
And it was only the second armor to have those little like pointy crowns.
Yeah, that was really good.
I love
it
that suit of
really
armor.
Cool.
I love it.
For some reason, I always really like the stealth armor, that like black Iron Man armor that he wore.
That's cool.
I always thought that one was really cool.
It's just great that Iron Man has different armors for different things.
Especially when you're trying to sell toys.
Boosh.
Boosh.
Welcome back, buddy.
Shonix, the second member of the MP3 crew to chime in.
Hello, Twitter nerds. Shonix emailing in with my answer to the question of the week, and an awesome question it is. Thank you, Wooly Toots. Actually, speaking of MP3s, I sent my little groups of questions, I think I mumbled towards the end of it in classic Shonix form, that I had a couple other ones, but I couldn't remember them, and Wooly Toots totally stole this out of my brain that day. He reached in, pulled it out, and took it. And he used it today, which I loved. And what I hold in my hand is not a mic. It's not the ultimate nullifier. It's not the infinity gauntlet. It's not no utility belt. It's not no web shooter. It's not no shield. It's not Mjolnir. It's not... What else we got? Lassos. We got bracelets. We got invisible jets.
He's going to name them all, isn't he?
That counts, but I'd go with it. But what I have in my hand is this Siege Perilous. Now, this first appeared back in 227 of Uncanny X-Men. Roma brought it to the table. Roma, the daughter of the 616, Merlin of King Arthur era Styly. And the Siege Perilous has something to do. There is something from the legend of King Arthur, but it was like a table and not some portal that you walk through and got a brand new life. And that's what happened. That's what you did. And I loved how this story element that Claremont used worked throughout this series, because it first appeared in like 227 when the X-Men supposedly died in Dallas, and then they went and hung out in the Outback for a while and stole the Reavers' place to hang out. And things got pretty dark. Things got pretty crazy. It was fun at first, but all things have an end. And Rogue was going through some mad split personality problems. Her Carol Danvers side was really coming out. And in a fight with Nimrod and Master Mold, well, they had combined to make a, like an uber Master Mold. They thought the best way to stop him was to use a Siege Perilous. And it sucked Rogue in, and it sucked Master Mold and Nimrod in. And then later, the X-Men decided, because at the time, Wolverine wasn't around, Storm had, quote-unquote, died by the hands of Havoc, and they all just decided, hey, let's go in here, let's start anew. And they walked through, and they all got new lives. Havoc ended up being on Genosha, which we found out in Extinction Agenda as a Genoshian military guy. Dazzler went back to she went to an acting career. Psylocke was the worst of all, but I'll get over that. Colossus was an artist hanging out with Mask. Callisto. A lot of great storytelling there. Absolutely loved it. And then when Bastion showed up on the scene, I was like, I know that look. And then sure enough, he was the Master Mold, Nimrod. Oh, I absolutely love that thing. It's come back recently, but it's terrible and it sucks and it's nothing like the original. So that's how I feel about my X-Men. And I'll talk to you guys next week. Peace.
Did you say I'll talk to you X week? It's kind of sound
like I'll talk to you guys. I'll talk at you guys X week.
Well, without listening to any other calls or MP3s, I think we can safely give the nerdiest X answer to Sean X.
Oh, right? Yeah. For real.
Like, big time.
Yeah, for real. It's funny that he brings that up because I have had an almost overwhelming desire to reread Operation Zero Tolerance.
Yeah?
Which was an X-Men crossover from the late 90s.
Yeah, I remember it.
Where this character Bastion came on the scene,
yeah,
to round up all the mutants. And it was revealed that he was the Master Mold.
Right, he was a human sentinel.
He was the Nimrod Master Mold hybrid from that 80s X-Men story that went through the Siege Perilous. Nerdiest reveal ever. Like,
oh, big time.
The X-Men are the kings of subplots that run for decades before getting resolved.
Right. Well, and to be fair, I mean, they don't necessarily run for decades. They go pull something like out of continuity and be like, it's been happening the whole time.
No, but when you talk about like when Bishop came back and his whole deal was like, there's a traitor to the X-Men and I'm here to find out who it is.
Right.
For years, the debate raged, who's the traitor? Who could it be? And the theories were all over the place. Like, who was powerful enough to kill all the X-Men?
Who was the traitor?
Professor X.
Oh, that's right.
Because he became Onslaught.
That's right.
I love that stuff. I love it.
Enough of this nerdiness. Let's move along. Let's stay on target here. Come on. All right, Shockling, what do you got for us?
Good morning, gentlemen. It's Andrea. At Andrea Shock on the Twitters and one half of Comics Therapy. Did you guys ever know that you're my heroes? You're everything that I wish I could be.
Okay.
Seriously.
Okay, Bette Midler.
I can fly higher than, I don't know, like an eagle or something. Because you two are totally the wind beneath my wings.
Okay, all right.
Thank you. And thank you for picking yet another question for me to just call in and talk about Hawkeye. I mean, who doesn't love Hawkeye's trick arrows? Part sight gag, part physical improbability. They're an important part of Hawkeye lore, designed and rendered by technical draftsman extraordinaire Mark Gruenwald, and then remastered by David Aja, most notably in the third issue of Fraction and Aja's Hawkeye, arguably the best single issue of the first arc. Clint Barton is just a guy, you know, when he's not being written as a complete loser. But I swear, in the past, he was also an expert tactical leader and genius marksman. With the trick arrows, his sweet skills become the closest to superpowers this guy would ever see. But because he also ostensibly made them himself, they provided lots of opportunities for comedy, flower arrows, remember? And character reveals, because boomerangs. In fact, that's probably the exact trick arrow Barton could use most right now. Maybe it would help him snap back to his old self. Have a beautiful rest of your day, guys. And seriously, thanks for being you.
No, Andrea, thank you.
Flattery will get you everywhere.
For making us. Huh? That's a meta there.
Whoa.
Right? Hawkeye. I love it.
I love it too.
I love it too. But it was those same trick arrows that blew him up.
That's true. If he had spent more time putting a release clip onto his quiver and less time developing that one last trick
like
arrow.
A car seatbelt or something. Then you just be like, whoa, you know?
You know, it's weird. I never really think of trick arrows when I think of Hawkeye. I only think of trick arrows when I think of Green Arrow.
Yeah, I go more to Green Arrow as well.
And but Hawkeye certainly uses them.
He does. It's been a long time since they've really emphasized the trick arrow aspect, though. Like, he's just been shooting arrows for...
Well, I mean, she referenced the current Hawkeye, so it's come up, but it's just, I mean, maybe it's less of like a comic book in joke with Hawkeye as it is with Green Arrow. You know, it's like boxing glove arrow, right? But I love that stuff. Like, unashamed, love it when they use ridiculous trick arrows.
I'm okay with it.
I'm a huge fan.
I'll leave it at that.
I'm a huge fan.
Good answer, though.
Hi, guys. Brian Domingos calling in about the superpowered artifact for the answer of the week. I thought about it, had a lot of different options, but the one I kept going back to because it is the only answer is the Green Lantern power ring because of its abilities with flight. You can make boxing gloves, shields, life support, language translators, energy blasts, manga robots, and it's probably one of the only ones that can survive for 83,000 years under the surface of Mars and be there for Superman to use to save the day. I'd like to see Spider-Man's web shooters do that. All right, thanks.
Short and sweet.
Green Lantern ring. Excellent, excellent choice.
I'm kind of surprised it's taken this many calls to get to it.
I am too. And honestly, that was going to be my answer. Specifically, the Green Lantern ring, when Geoff Johns got a hold of it and started using it differently, like showing how everyone that uses it slightly differently. There was a panel in, I think it was the Sinestro War, but I'm not positive which one it was, where he's like, Hal Jordan is talking about how everybody uses their rings, about how like...
I think this was Green Lantern Rebirth.
Is that Rebirth?
Yeah, where like Kilowogs just kind of like comes out of him like a jackhammer.
Well, that's what I was going to go with. Yeah, he's talking about John Stewart builds.
John Stewart,
these,
like it's intricately
beautiful,
builds
intricate plans. And Kyle
an architect.
Does like these artistry, like almost...
It comes together like a drawing.
Yeah, like a... And then they showed Kilowog. And Kilowog, he said, just uses his like a cannon. And there's a panel that just has the word boom written all the way across the page. And it's Kilowog like, with his hand out. And this just... laser is so big that it takes up the whole rest of the page. It was so cool. And I'm like, man, I love that aspect of it. It's not just an extension of their will, but it's also an extension of their personality.
Yeah, I agree.
Man, it's so
super
cool.
Fun.
Yeah, I really, really cool. Good answer. Uh-oh. Gmail thinks Harvey Locus's answer might be junk. Well, I'm going to click that it's not junk, and let's give it a listen.
Hey nerds, Harvey Locus here, MP3ing in my answer to the question of the week. And this one was a tough one. I did some thing. I had two other answers that I thought I was going to go with. Instead, it ended up settling on a third one that I just dawned on me a little while ago. And so I think I'm going to end up going with Ileana Rasputin's soul sword.
Oh, Harvey's calling us from the Matrix, magic. Apparently.
Yeah. Peter's younger sister who ended up ruling Limbo for a while, for a long time, actually, thanks to her soul sword. Yeah, she got trapped in Limbo. She was being held there, I should say. And she ended up making the soul sword out of, like, the purest part of her soul. And, you know, using some white magic that Storm had taught her. And that's how she ended up freeing herself and eventually ruling Limbo. So I always liked that weapon. I liked the glowy sword kind of thing. And Ileana was one of my favorite characters from back in the day. So, yeah, that's my answer. Peace.
I love her too, and it's a great answer.
You know, legendary sorceress Storm.
I don't know what he was talking about.
I'm sure that he's right, but I had to I don't. Why would Storm know magic?
I don't recall, but I mean, I'm not saying it's impossible. You will notice interesting factoid about the Soul Sword. When it first made its appearance, the Soul Sword was just kind of looked like a samurai sword, kind of. It was little and it was curved. And it did its thing. Over the years, it has gotten steadily larger.
Yeah.
Now, the way that Chris Bichello draws it.
It's like a Final Fantasy
sword.
Ileana
is holding like an 8.5-foot sword that's about 3 feet thick. You know?
It's pretty badass.
And it looks really cool. Yeah. I like this whole sword a lot. That's a cool answer. I wouldn't have thought of that one.
Yeah. Definitely not one that immediately sprang to mind. Yeah. I like that it's a little out of the box.
That's a good answer.
Mm-hmm.
Hey there, Two-Headed Nerd. This is Chase Magnet, writer of Comics Bulletin and DC Infinite, calling with my answer of the week. I had a lot of different ideas about a favorite device or artifact, none of which I'll name here because I am capable of following the rules. The most common link between these ideas, though, was that they were created by one man, Jack Kirby. Anyone who knows me knows I'm a big fan of the King, so this is became a question of what is my favorite Jack Kirby device. That question was a lot easier to answer. It's the Mother Box. The Mother Box is a device from Kirby's Fourth World series. It pulls power from the mysterious source and is capable of all sorts of cool feats. It can project force fields, sense danger, sustain life, and create one of my favorite comic plot devices, boom tubes. They're a perfect example of the whimsy and life that Kirby brought to all of his creations. Mother Boxes aren't explained with pseudoscience or given any sort of origin. There's no explanation needed. They simply ping and create all sorts of visual wonders. In a world filled with new gods, supermen, and miracles, Mother Boxes fit right in. Like so many other characters and devices created by Jack Kirby, they represent the incredible power of imagination and the comics medium. So that's why my favorite comics artifact is the Mother Box. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, I never thought about it, but he's right. They never explained what it was, what it did, or where it came from.
Doesn't matter.
it was a thing, and it did its job.
Yeah, the Mother Box is a device that it matters not where it came from.
It pings, and it does stuff and things.
Yeah, I love it. I love the Mother Box. I think it's great.
It's weird as hell. It's very Jack Kirby, and I love that answer. That's great.
And I love that anyone that has one understands what the pinging means.
Yeah, every time. It's like all of a sudden be like, ping, 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 ping. They'll be like, oh, no, we're in trouble.
What's that?
Like,
Timmy fell down a well?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, I love it. I have a feeling that this next one might be an error, but let's find out.
Robert Crumbs Penis.
Well, I didn't see that coming.
Thank you, creepy masked man. Like, I have no idea who that was.
I don't either.
It may have been Justin O'Connor, but I don't want to accuse him of that. I know
it didn't sound like his voice, though.
It kind of didn't. No, I'm not sure who it was.
It's from Omaha.
Robert Crumb's penis. That's a very interesting answer.
Thank you, mystery caller.
Okay, I'm moving right along.
Buddy bros, it is Wooly Toots. This is my answer to the question of the week. And when I came up with this question, I had Shonix in mind. I think that dude's going to have a lot of fun with this question. And I'm excited to hear what he has to say. And what to tell you the truth, I'm excited to hear what everybody has to say. So let's get into it. My item is the Serpent Crown. Now, the Serpent Crown is not too powerful an item when you compare it to other items, but it does do some pretty cool stuff. It is a crown shaped like a seven-headed serpent, all coiled up, and it grants the wearer superhuman strength. And you can read and control minds. You can levitate yourself and stuff other people. You can cast illusions. You can also shoot out destructive bolts of mystical energy. And it also gives you some mental ability to manipulate matter and energy and things like that. Now, the one thing about the crown that I like the most, I think it's a really cool feature, is that the crown will eventually dominate the wearer. And the wearer will then fall under the mental control of the demon god Set, who created the Serpent Crown. And the crown has a mystical link to that demon god Set. And so if you wear it, you're dominated by Set. Set will make you perform tasks that will help facilitate Set's physical return to Earth, because Set was exiled a long time ago.
Like robbing quick shops or something.
Anyways.
Right.
That is cool. The fact that you are possessed by the crown and it makes you do bad things. Now, it goes deeper than that, guys. Okay? I'm just giving you some brief history on the item. Now, let's talk about Set. A long time ago, Set spawned a race of serpent men who worshipped him. And if you didn't know this about the serpent men can change their shape to appear as normal man. So they could be right next to you. You wouldn't know that dude's a serpent man. Well, back in the ancient kingdom of Volusia, ruled by one King Kull. That's right, Kull the Conqueror.
Here we go.
Kull He basically, man, one man battle against the Serpent Man. It was all about wiping those dudes out. And their crown was lost. And oh boy, it resurfaced where? Oh yes, it resurfaced in the modern Marvel Universe. Now, there's been multiple Serpent Crowns on multiple in multiple realities. And multiple crowns have come to the Earth and they've been joined together and they got more powerful and stuff like that. But the key thing here is they all were connected to Set, okay? Now, the Serpent Crown was worn by a bunch of different people. The list is pretty long, but let's see here.
Oh, it sure is.
Namor, Scarlet Witch, Nova, the Living Laser, some jerk named Hugh Jones, who was the president of Roxxon
that
Oil Company.
Motherfucker.
They all wore it, right? So you're telling me, yeah, this is where it is. This is where it's the coolest thing. You're telling me that the Serpent Crown connects the sword and sorcery universe of Marvel Comics with the superhero universe of Marvel Comics. Do you see that? Are you paying attention? Have you been paying attention?
Whoa.
Whoa.
That Mind is blown. Why I love it. That is the cool man. Yes. Oh, and let us not forget, the Serpent Crown is what caused Atlantis attacks. And I feel like we've all got a little soft spot for Atlantis attack storyline. I think we all do. So there you have it, my friends. The Serpent Crown.
Atlantis attacks is back when Marvel annuals meant something, man.
That's right. Okay, so I've never read a single story with the Serpent Crown in it, ever, in 30 years of reading comics, ever.
You didn't read Atlantis attacks?
Nope.
Are you kidding me?
Like, that came out when I was getting my comics one at a time from the Quick Shop on 48th and Q.
You didn't read that Spider-Man story with the president of Roxxon freaking out?
Nope.
Are you kidding me?
Nope.
How did you dodge this?
I just completely missed it.
I'll bet I've read 30 Serpent Crown stories.
But what I did have as a kid was the Marvel Handbook that had the entry for the Serpent Crown in it.
Yeah, there was one book that was all just stuff. It was the like the weapons appendix or whatever.
But this was like in the deluxe edition. It was just folded into the main.
Yeah, I think deluxe edition they put it in there.
There was an entry for the Serpent Crown, and it was like the whole history of the Serpent Crown and what happened in the storylines it was in. And I don't remember if that came out before or after Atlantis attacks, but it also had like the list of everyone that had ever put it on. And I just remember going over that with such fascination. Like, oh my God, I don't know what this is, but I want to read it so bad.
But I'm not going to.
Listen, when you're getting your comics off the spinner rack, you can only get what they carry.
If they were getting
the mains and not the annuals.
Yeah, man, I feel like I read a ton of stuff. There was like, and actually I think that Roxxon story was in Iron Man. I think that was Iron Man. I don't think it was
Spidey. You know what? I had one issue of the Atlantis Attacks crossover, and I think it was one of the final ones. So I guess maybe I did, but at that point it was like the conclusion.
Yeah.
So it was none of that. Like the Serpent Crown thing built up over years and years.
Yeah.
Of it getting passed around and being used in different storylines and stuff. And yeah, I was just fascinated by stuff like that. It's also where I read about Scourge, who was like a way scarier version of the Punisher.
Oh, yeah.
Who was like faceless and he would just kill guys and shout, "Justice is served," and then fade away. And the handbook had an entry for Scourge. And then I read it eventually, but there's that whole thing culminated in Scourge going to a supervillain bar and massacring everybody inside the bar with no name.
Oh.
And there's like, here
that place
is
gets blown up all the time.
Here is everyone Scourge murdered. Turner D. Century, like the cheesiest villains.
Right, right, right.
Oh, man. Anyway.
Way off topic.
I know, but.
The Serpent Crown.
I need to read Atlantis Attacks, obviously, is the takeaway.
It was a ton of fun.
Are you the one called the Amazing Spider-Man?
Get ready.
Yeah.
Here we go.
I was expecting you, Thanos.
You know that I'm looking for the ultimate power.
Hey, you know I never said that I had all the answers.
Don't you know your answers ring true? You know your place.
Yeah, I do. And that place is on the MP3 crew throne. Now listen up, you big purple nerds.
Ain't got web shooters, so I shoot my mouth. Step up to me, I kick your right back south. Don't ask about my powers, I was born this great. Don't worry about my cred, you know I earned my stay. When they spot me on the street, they don't know what to do. They yell, look, it's the king of the MP3 crew. Yeah, I got all the power, but I'm hungry for more. But first, let's hear about the things that make me snore. Now that little green ring is real cute, son, but it needs a battery to go. And I got more charge in my iPhone, it's not afraid of the color yellow. Now hey Batman, you think your belt looks real rogue? Well, I'm sure that look was suggested back in a 60s issue of Vogue. So girl, you tie up your enemies to get the truth out of them. Now I'm certain that lasso of yours is just some other form of S&M. Now Red Skull and his cosmic cube, that's getting really old. Why even deal with cubes at all if you can't make your henny cold? You think the ultimate nullifier is just so freaking dangerous? Nah, not even Reed Richards is gonna use it to come up and threaten us. Now the hammer of Thor can never ensure defeat against me. Because with the power I crave, all Asgard's gonna worship at my feet. Now I need power so great Titans are no match for me. I'll be more than a god. Yeah, that's right, you'll see. Now, do you really want to hear about the power beyond your belief?
Yes.
I'm gonna go ahead and pass the mic. Let's hear Thanos speak.
Anytime you look at it, you can see all of the power when you wear it on your hand. The power rushes through you hour after hour. It's got 6 gems to make all of my enemies cower. The soul gem can steal the soul of any living or dead. While the power gem's pure energy and it bears the color red. The time gem can step through the past, the present, and the future. While the mind gem controls the brain of any living creature. Now the space gem lets me be anywhere that I want to be. And the last gem lets me rip through the fabric of all reality.
Make no mistake what you heard, son. Infinity Gauntlet is number one. If you want your power above all the gods you put on the gauntlet, destroy the odds.
You know, Thanos, I knew you wanted this. You wanted the power. I'm gonna have to keep the gauntlet.
No, the gauntlet is mine. Can't do this.
Nah, Thanos, you didn't even have a chance against the Amazing Spider-Brad. Check me out on Instagram, The Amazing Spider-Brad, and Twitter, AMZ Spider-Brad. Spider-Brad, out.
God bless you and the amount of free time you have, sir.
I quit.
I've got 6 chins to make my enemies cower. Oh, man.
Are you sure it didn't say 6 gems to make my enemies cower?
Oh, I thought he said something about 6 chins. He's got those lumps in his chest.
Either way, I'm into it.
Oh, man, that was great. That was great. Another vote for the Infinity Gauntlet by the infinitely talented Amazing Spider Brad.
This is what happens when you work like 4 12-hour days and then have nothing to do but
wow.
Hang out. I'm sorry. I don't even know what to say.
Yeah, we're a little stunned. We're a little stunned. I apologize.
All right. Well, we already talked about the Infinity Gauntlet. Let's just move on.
Favorite answer. Nerdiest answer I'm giving to Shonix. Totally the nerdiest answer. I loved it.
Yeah. Shonix is the nerdiest answer, but...
Best researched, I'm giving to Willy Toots.
Yeah, it's true.
That was incredible, man. We got a full-on history lesson.
Well, this isn't the Oscars. There aren't, like, multiple awards. No, so
just,
which one was your
I'm
favorite?
I'm just tossing them out. Favorite answer, it's hard for me not to go with Cap Shield because I love Cap Shield so much, and I love the way he just threw it out. Cap Shield, because I'm an American, goddammit. Boom.
All right, so Jason Sexier, you win.
No, I'm going to go with Harvey Locust. I'm giving it to Harvey Locust.
The Soul Sword.
I love the choice of the Soul Sword. I didn't even think about it, and the Soul Sword is totally awesome, and I love Ileana, and I think that's a great answer. I love it.
All right. That's fair. I'm going to give my favorite answer to, in order to avoid picking it for my pick, okay. I'm going to give my favorite answer to everyone that answered the Infinity Gauntlet.
Okay. All right.
Patrick, Randy too, right?
Randy, Patrick,
and Brad.
And Brad, yeah.
Because the Infinity Gauntlet is rad.
Oh, yeah.
And every time I see it in the comics, I agree with Patrick. Every time it shows up in the comics, I get a little chill.
Yeah. My only problem with the Infinity Gauntlet is it's a little too rad. You know what I mean?
That's what makes it awesome.
It's like so rad that there's just like no rules.
You know, that's why I love it.
You basically do whatever the hell you want.
That's why I love it, because if someone has the Infinity Gauntlet, you're not going to beat them by punching them. It's a more complicated
unless
battle.
You punch them very hard.
Well, right. I love all our answers. I love all of our callers equally.
It's true. You guys demanded
some more equally than
you
others.
You demanded this contest. We didn't want this. You brought this upon yourself.
But I think Infinity Gauntlet is my favorite listener answer.
Okay.
Matt Bomb, what is your personal favorite answer?
I had to think about this quite a bit. And like I said, I was going to go with the Green Lantern Ring because I love the way that Geoff Johns switched it up. But I came back to the first one that popped into my head, Eye of Agamotto, man. I love the Eye of Agamotto. Doctor Strange wears it around his neck. It's like the most powerful mystic trinket that he has. And bad guys are constantly trying to take that thing.
Yeah.
Steve Ditko created it, and he drew an inspiration from a real world charm. I didn't know this. I read it off Wikipedia. The all-seeing eye of Buddha, known among Buddhists as the amulet of snail martyrs. Okay.
There you go.
Yeah. Man, I love the Eye of Agamotto. Doctor Strange is always using it like to dispel illusions or to reveal, you know.
Reveal
like,
hidden truths.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's so cool. And every time he uses it, Agamotto, the guy that created it, can also see what's going on and records what's happening for some unknown purpose.
What?
Yeah, yeah. Agamotto was a former Sorcerer Supreme who created the Eye of Agamotto. Totally badass. I love mystic gems and trinkets and magic items. And man, that one's the coolest. Joe Patrick, what's yours?
This was tough for me because I have a lot of answers. You know, Green Lantern Ring, of course, high on my list of favorites.
New Zealand's boomerang fish.
Right.
Way up there.
The Infinity Gauntlet, obviously.
Of course.
And also, I'm a big fan of like trick rings. And when what I mean by that is like Barry Allen's like costume ring.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. Or like the Legion's ring.
The Legion
like,
flight ring.
Yeah.
And the reason I love Barry Allen's trick ring so much is because of the implications. The dude invented a type of fabric that can be compressed to the size of, a Tic Tac?
At least.
So a onesie for a full-grown adult man compressed to the size of a Tic Tac and fit inside of a spring-loaded capsule. How come he did not like patent that?
Yeah, even more impressive.
Sell it to the military.
Is the fact that he's not a billionaire.
Right. You know? Like, I understand dude's got a calling to fight crime. I get it.
It's the same with Spider-Man, though. He invented the spider fluid, and it's like, you didn't sell this to 3M or somebody.
They address that in the comics. They address that in the comics. 3M didn't want it because it only lasts an hour.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. I think that is
completely ridiculous. Like, we can't do anything with this.
I think that's bullshit. Because you know that there's a market for a super strong adhesive that dissolves after time.
Yeah, give me a break. Or for whatever reason, you know?
But yeah, like the idea that the Beetle, he's an airplane mechanic who built essentially an Iron Man suit out of spare parts.
Right.
And then decided to rob banks.
Yeah, because it was going to pay off more than, you know, selling it to the military.
Yeah, exactly. So, like Barry.
Or selling it to the evil military or whoever.
Go to the government and say, hey, look. Super safe, concealable parachutes.
Check this out.
For your paratroopers or for whoever.
Whatever.
Like, they can have a dozen of them.
Yeah.
Who cares if one doesn't open?
Or sell it to, you know, fashion company and be like, hey, carry 50 changes of clothes around
right,
with you.
Yeah, right? Exactly. You
know, whatever.
Anyway, I love all that stuff. But I think I settled on my favorite just for, you know, emotional, nostalgic reasons or whatever. My favorite comic book artifact, weapon, whatever, is Starman's cosmic rod.
Okay. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. Just because visually, I think it's very cool.
Yeah, it's really cool looking.
And
it used to be kind of stupid looking, but then when Jack got a hold of it, he made it look really cool.
Right, like Jack tinkered with it, and you could tell over time Tony Harris like tweaked the look of it and stuff. So I think it looks neat, and I love the fact that it is primarily, like, yeah, he blasts stuff with it, but it's also primarily like a defensive weapon and he uses it to fly.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't do a ton of tricks. It makes force fields. It lets you fly, shoots beams, you know, so it doesn't have a ton.
What's her head has it now?
Stargirl, yeah.
Stargirl.
But every time I see it.
She rides it like side saddle. It's kind of dumb.
Yeah, she used to. But every time I see it, you know, I get a little, like a little warm feeling in my heart, because I love to know that that symbol of that character is being passed on and stuff.
Yeah.
So that, I think, is my favorite, Starman's cosmic rod.
I can't believe nobody said Thor's hammer. No one said Thor's hammer.
Thor's hammer is an easy answer.
They're trying to impress us, and I like that. They're fighting for
our love. They succeeded.
They did. They did. Congratulations. We love you all. Great question. This was fun.
It was a good question.
I love these, like the dumb ones, man, where we could just get into like some nerd talk, you know?
Yeah.
It's a good time.
It is a good time. And I mean, okay. I was tempted to give it to my favorite call. My favorite call went to Jared, even though the Serpent Crown is not my favorite artifact.
Okay.
Because I loved the enthusiasm with which he went through the entire history of the Serpent Crown.
Yeah. Best researched, without a doubt.
But yeah, I got to give it to the Infinity Gauntlet as for a listener pick. But this is a fun question, and I'm glad we did it.
Thanks to everybody that called in or emailed us an MP3 with your answers. If you guys want to play along, like we said in the beginning of the show, go to the THN forums, sign up. That is where Joe Patrick posts the question of the week. It gets posted every Sunday, and you have until the following Thursday, midnight, to answer.
That means if you are hearing this, the deadline for this week's question is tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Because I'm assuming that this is going up on Wednesday.
Yes. We try to get the show up on Wednesdays, and we've been good for the past couple weeks.
We have been.
Yes, we have. That is it for the answer of the week, you guys. Thanks again for everybody that called in and everybody that wrote on the forums. Love hearing from you. This is your show, not ours, and that's what makes it great.
There's a lot of even better, not better, but different.
Much like, better.
The people on the forums answered with things that I had to look up.
The quality is so much higher there. This is a very lowbrow group that we have calling in.
That's nonsense.
I'm kidding. We love all you guys equally. Until next time, this is the Two-Headed Nerd signing off!
Yes.